and the door slid wide, allowing me to step past the body of the Zabrak. 3 steps in, I felt something land on my head. "They're in here!" I shouted as I whipped the stun sticks at my head from either side. The one on my left hit nothing but helmet, but the right one made contact with something, with a bit more give to it, like flesh. No squeal or anything, but the extra weight slid off and plopped onto my shoulder, which startled me. I moved my head too fast to get a look at it as it fell, and the unwieldy helmet pulled me off balance. I managed to stagger backward and get my hands down to control the fall, but the fall was inevitable, and as soon as I hit the ground, 2 more weights landed on me in quick succession, right on my visor, though I saw nothing. A white circle of abraded polymer appeared directly above my left eye, and I could hear the material scream as it was torn to shreds by the invisible creature drilling directly toward my head. Its teeth would have no trouble plowing through my eye and then to my brain directly behind. I pounded at the area with each of my stun sticks, but the drilling continued as a body became visible, and I lost a couple of precious seconds realizing what had happened. 1 skull borer had landed on top of the other, draping over it protectively. And while I had stunned that one to unconsciousness, the first one was still invisible and hungry for my gray matter. I couldn't get to it with the stun sticks, and meanwhile the drilling continued with palpable progress. Dropping the stun sticks, I grabbed for my blaster and didn't bother to check its setting. I leveled the barrel on a plane even with the outside of my visor and pulled the trigger, letting rip a bolt of red plasma that momentarily blinded me but halted the shriek of drilling. It also left a scorch mark across my visor.
"Luke, are you okay?"
Nakari asked.
"Yeah, 3 down, right?" "I'll say. No problem seeing them after you blast them. There's nasty purple goo all over the bay now."
"What about the first one I stunned?"
Nakari dropped a stun stick and drew her blaster. She fired at the unconscious form out of my line of sight.
"He won't wake up either. I don't have any interest in bringing these things back alive. They've killed my friends."
"Friends?"
She gestured with her blaster.
"I knew this Zabrak, too. He knew how to cook."
Her eyes flashed at me behind her visor.
"Sorry. Didn't mean to imply criticism of your nerve stakes."
I hadn't even thought of that until she said it. Last thing on my mind, I'd been thinking that I knew all about what she was feeling right then. And the shock of seeing someone you know dead, one of the first things you think of is how you will remember them. Things like, "He could cook," or "She could sing," or "He was my best friend, and I'll miss him forever." The crush of grief rolls in behind that. But sometimes you can shove that in a closet for a while until you have time to deal with it. I knew I still had plenty to deal with. I imagine Nakari was walling up her feelings like that now.
"Not a problem,"
I said.
"Sorry about your friend. Give me a hand up."
"Sure."
She holstered her blaster and strode forward, right hand extended, while her left still held a stun stick. She had to balance herself carefully to lean down, but before I could take her hand, she reared back from me, her left hand bashing the top of her right with the stunner. A skull borer appeared and slid off her hand as she simultaneously dropped the stun stick and screamed. She yanked out her blaster and shot at the back of her left hand, killing another of the creatures and taking some of her own blood with it.
"Ah!"
Dropping her blaster, she clutched her injured hand to her chest.
"Why did they attack my hands?"
I rolled over and levered myself up to a standing position.
"They're smart, just like you thought. Problem solvers. They saw us kill the other 3 using things in our hands, so they attack the hands to disable you, and then they can get to what they really want."
Oh, you're right. These things are at least semi-sentient. We shouldn't be messing around with them. Except this last one, who's only stunned. Would you mind?"
I considered simply dropping it outside the ship. but it wouldn't do to have it lingering around where it could attack us again when we had to return to the jewel. I shot it, and that made 5 dead skull borers to match up with 5 empty cages.
At least you're already in the medical bay. Let's see if we can patch you up.
The skull borer had chewed through her glove like tissue and had sawn through the web of tendons in the back of her hand, though it didn't break any of the bones. Nakari had blasted it to jelly before it could drill so far. It was impossible for her to make a fist now. I slapped a back-to-patch on it, gave her something for the pain, and let the automated medical system continue from there. She'd need a true surgeon to repair the damage, but the system could keep her stable and free of infection.
I'm going to check the rest of the ship, just in case. We should still have 1 crew member left, right?
Nakari nodded, biting her lower lip. The pain medication probably hadn't kicked in yet, and her adrenaline was wearing off.
I'll be back as soon as I can. I want to see if I can get the ship fired up, too.
I don't know how you can see anything,
she said, breathing quickly.
Between that chewed-up spot in the visor and the burn, it's a wonder you're not blind.
I'll be careful. I'm taking 2 sticks with me, just in case.
Nakari requested that I give her one of hers, and only when she felt sufficiently armed did she lie back on the table to let the medical program run. She quizzed me on the codes for the doors before I exited.